In this week's parsha is just Parshas Behar. There is no drush on Bechukosai. On Behar Bechukosai, there's only two on Behar. I think we're meeting next week, right? We're just a different location,
yeah.
Right? So we'll figure out what to do. Next week. Happens to be that both pieces on Parshas Behar are around the same theme. And let's jump in. The pasuk says in our parsha, we have in this week's parsha the mitzvah of Shemitah. Uvishana hashvias Shabbos Shabboson yela aretz Shabbos l'Hashem sadcha lo sizra v'charmecha lo sizmor. It has to be a time of resting in the seventh year. Cannot prune the fields. You can't work the vineyards. We have to let the land grow fallow as we are observing this year in Eretz Yisrael. And on here there is a wonderful medrash, and this is probably an expression you've heard in the last year regarding Shemitah farmers. This is the source of this description of the Shemitah farmers. This is the opening medrash in Vayikra. And the pasuk says in Tehillim Kuf Gimel, Gibore Koach Ose Dvaro. Those who are Gibore Koach, those who are strong and very powerful, they do your will, Hashem. They do what you ask them to do. But Maha Kosum Adavar, what is David Melech talking about? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. B'shomrei shviyas hakasuv medaber. Who are the giborei koach? Who are the powerful people who Hashem respects so much? It's those people who are shomer shviyas, who allow their fields to lay fallow and do not work it during this year. B'noeg shebaolam adam osa mitzvah yomechad. Maybe a person has a difficult mitzvah to do. It takes them one day. For one day, you make a big sacrifice, and a person keeps Shabbos, and you're able to keep Shabbos for that one day, the Shabbos Echas. Maybe for a week you make a big sacrifice and you push yourself to do a mitzvah that's very challenging. L'chodesh Echad, maybe for a month, a person really tries to persevere to do a mitzvah in a particular special way, to keep a mitzvah that's very challenging for them. Boy, has to put on a tefillin every single month, wake up for davening early, whatever it may be, something that pushes them to serve Hashem. Shema l'shayimos hashara. Can you imagine having to do a very taxing, emotionally laborious, a very complicated mitzvah that really pushes you to serve Hashem for a whole year? V'dayin chamei chakle barei, karmei barei. He sees that his field lays empty, his vineyard lays empty. V'yehavei arnuna v'shasik. And he sits there and does nothing and says anything at all. Yesh l'cha gibor gadol mizeh, says the Medrash. Is there a greater gibor? Is there a greater servant of Hashem than the person who observes Shemitah, the Shomer Shvius, and allows the field to lay fallow during that year? And he explains, Rechaim Shlomitz explains, that to control yourself with bitachon, and this is the theme of tonight, we're going to talk about bitachon, to have trust in Hashem, for over a year, is l'malem min hateva. That's a remarkable thing. Do they have a Shemitah farmer come to school this year? No?
If you have
the chance to hear and to come in contact and to observe a farmer who's Shomer Shvi'ah this year, who's losing tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, and sees the work of 6 years now lay empty in a barren, hot, unwatered field, and nothing is going on there. He doesn't know what's going to be next year, the year after that, and he's behind on debts. This is Giborei Koach. This is the term that we use to describe those who are Shomer Shvius, Giborei Koach, because their bitachon is almost superhuman, that they trust, and there are stories on top of stories. You can go online and hear about all these amazing stories of people who were Shomer Shvius, and they had tremendous miracles, and there are great things happen, but there are also people who didn't have tremendous miracles, and they're still in hard times, but they said, this is the Rosh Hashem, I'm going to be Shomer Shvius. That idea of Osei Devaro, that he does my words, so that Pasuk in Tehillim is repeated in another famous Gemara. We're about to come before Shavuos by Kabbalah Satorah, and there's a well-known Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches, Amar Rabbi Elazar. When the Jewish people said, we will do before we will hear, a voice came from heaven and said, who revealed this secret formula to my children that the malachim used before me? Dichsiv, baruchu Hashem malachav, giborei koach, osei devaro, lishma b'kol devaro. it says that Hashem blesses the malachim. The pasuk in Tehillim in Pashut Pshat is really talking about malachim, Hashem's angels, who are gibore koach. And what does the pasuk say? They are osei devaro. They do Hashem's bidding, lishmo bekol ro, and they listen to Hashem's words. So what in what order does the pasuk come? Nase and then nishma, bereisha osei v'hadar lishmoa, and then we'll hear about it. This is the level of a malach, and the Gemara is telling us that the koach to be ready to go without question, to run and do exactly what Hashem wants, and to throw yourself into a mitzvah, and not to make calculations, and what about this? Maybe the mitzvah doesn't apply to me in this case, and this is a different situation, no one's going to really know, and I'm having a tough day, and therefore I don't have to do it. That's not Na'aseh V'Nishma. Na'aseh V'Nishma means I will do it, because this is the Ratzon Hashem, and then later I'll learn about the mitzvah, I'll talk about the mitzvah, I'll try to understand the mitzvah. But both descriptions, the Shomer Shvius and the Malach, or B'nai Yisrael by Kabbalah Satorah, are both given the same title of Gibore Koach. Why are they both called Gibore Koach? What's the Koach? What's the Gvura they have? It's that they do Na'aseh V'Nishma. They do it. You don't think that the Shemitah farmer has all the excuses in the world, why he doesn't have to keep it, and it's going to be difficult, my family, but he doesn't care. This is what Hashem wants. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to do it. And that is the midah of the malachim, that hashgacha is vivid, is a vivid mitzias to such an individual. Why is it, says Reb Chaim Shlomitz, that the malach goes and does exactly what Hashem says and doesn't question it? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right before him. It's so clear to a malach Hashem that Hashem is vividly there, and it's a mitzias, it's a reality, that Hashem is before him at all times, and without question, of course, he's going to go and do the Ratzon Hashem. The same thing by Klal Yisrael, by Har Sinai. It was so clear that there was a Borei Olam, Na'aseh V'Nishma, no questions asked. And the person who's able to observe Shemitah, and they're able to take such a remarkable sacrifice and to do this very, very challenging, very, very difficult mitzvah, it's because there is a vivid mitzias, a reality in front of them, that there's a Borei Olam. There's a creator of the world who asked me to do something, and without question I will go, Na'aseh V'Nishma. I'm going to keep Shemitah, I'll learn about Shemitah during Shemitah, and I'll have all types of hashkafic discussions and all types of calculations, but Na'aseh V'Nishma, I'm going to do the Ratzon Hashem. This is what it means to have bitachon, says Reb Chaim Shlomitz. Bitachon means that you will do the Ratzon Hashem because it's what Hashem asks you to do. That's what it means. He goes on to explain that Shemitah is shayach to every single Jew, right? It doesn't say only very special people. Every Jew can be Shomer Shvius. It doesn't say just the Talmid HaChacham are Shomer Shvius, and just the very pious Tzaddikim are the ones who keep Shemitah. Every single Jew is able to be a Gibor Koach, is able to be like a Malach who says Na'aseh V'Nishma. Not only are we all Chayev, but the Onesh, the punishment for one who is not Shomer Shvius is very harsh. Look here in Vayikra Chavav, in the next parak in our Parsha. As tirtza ha'aretz es shabso seha kol yimei ha'shama, ve'atem be'aretz oyveichem, as tishbos ha'aretz v'hirtas es shivo seha. Do you know what happens when you don't keep Shemitah? Hashem will kick you out of the land, and because you did not let the land relax while you were there, the land will have plenty of time to relax when the Jewish people have been kicked out. Kol yimei ha'shama tishbos, eis asher lo shavse b'shavso seichem b'shavascha malaha. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the years that you did not keep Shemitah in the land will be desolate. The land will not be worked. To make up for all of that time, the Jewish people should have been keeping Shemitah, but in reality, they did not. That's a very harsh punishment. Not only is every single Jew supposed to keep Shemitah, but there's a very big onesh, it's a very big punishment. Why is it so harsh? So Reb Chaim explains that Shemitah is supposed to give us a boost of bitachon. If you don't keep Shemitah, then you don't get a booster shot of bitachon. You get a huge injection of bitachon during the Shemitah year, where you throw your burden, you throw your heart, you throw your soul on a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hashem, you're going to take care of this, I trust you. And then that burst of bitachon carries you for 6 years, and at the end of 6 years, you know, it's time for another shot, And then it's time for another Shemitah. Without observing Shemitah, the bitachon of the Jewish people fades and fades and fades and fades. Every single Jew needs to have some shaychus to Shemitah. Okay, so we are unfortunately in Chutz Laaretz, or not in Eretz Yisrael, so we need to do our best to be mishtatef, to participate in Shemitah, to be with those people who are actually keeping it. But that's the role of Shemitah, to give us a booster shot of bitachon going forward for the next few years. And this is the time period we're in right now. The pasuk says in Vayikra Chaf Hei, V'chisomru manochal b'shana hashvias, hein lo nizra v'lo nesof es tfuosenu. So it says, you will say, what will we eat in the seventh year? We have not planted, we have not gathered our grain. What will we eat in the seventh year? And says Hashem, I will give you a bracha in the sixth year. And the yield of the sixth year of Shemitah will be so great that it will carry you through the sixth year, the seventh year, and the eighth year, which you were not able to plant before, so you don't have food from the previous year. You'll have a triple bracha in the sixth year to carry you through. We've heard this before?
Yeah.
Okay? There's a big discussion nowadays. It's not our topic for tonight, but if that's the case, why are we raising money for Shemitah farmers? Where's the promise from Hashem? Why do I have to raise money for Shemitah farmers if Hashem gave a promise? So the answer is that promise, the Sefer Ma'orei Naim, which is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, says that the promise only exists when Shemitah is Midoraisa, when Shemitah is a Torah commandment. Shemitah is only Midorabana nowadays because most of the Jewish people are not living in Israel and we are not settled in our proper Shevet. So therefore, Shemitah is only a Derabana nowadays. And therefore, there's no promise nowadays that you're going to get a threefold yield in the sixth year. So that's why we have to raise money for the Shemitah farmers. Now, we have a problem. What's the problem? And this is a question asked by the Ramban. We're going to read it from the Kli Yakar. But the problem is, it says that in the seventh year, we're going to say, what do we have to eat? Right? But that's not true. Look at the Kli Yakar. Yesh mefarshim shebashana hashvias eino musav al v'chisomru. That statement of, and then we will say what we'll eat, is not going on the seventh year. V'chisomru b'shishas manochal b'shana hashvias. Hein b'shana hashvias lo nizra. Meaning, shouldn't you really be saying, in the sixth year, what will we eat in the seventh year? Because we will not have planted. Aval b'shvias v'adai lo yomru manochal b'shvinas. In the seventh year, you're not going to say, what will we come and eat in the eighth year? Shere nemar v'asasa satfu shalosh shanim. If Hashem promises a three times yield, im kein kvar ro b'shishas ribu atfu v'zeh kushya al ramban. Right? Let's play out for a second. The Torah says in the seventh year, you're going to say, what will we eat? But what does that mean? In the sixth year, you grew more food than you would in a normal year. You have grains on top of grains, apples on top of apples. You have so much food. Why in the seventh year would you be saying, oh, Hashem, you know, what are we going to eat? Didn't you grow all that extra food in the sixth year? Everyone hears the question on the pasuk?
Yeah.
Should I say it again? Everyone understands? Mm-hmm. Why would I say, what will I eat? What do you mean? I just saw miracle bounty in the sixth year of triple the usual yield. So why would I say, b'chisomru manoch b'shan hashvias? Listen to what the Kli Yakar says. V'li'nira shekach perusho, shekol taluna zu soveves al mashin amar b'pasuk shlif neza v'yachaltem lach mechem l'sova. This is all based on the idea that a person eats their food and satiates. Ela eino doma mishiesh lo pas b'salo l'mishi einlo. The expression pas b'salo means, to have bread in the basket means, I have in front of me. There is an emotional reaction, an emotional feeling when I have something in front of me, right? When a person, if a person knows, if their cupboards are empty and there's no food there, but they know tonight there will be a package of food, so knowing something will come is not the same as having something in front of me. When there's pas besalo, when I have something in front of me I can see, I can feel, that gives me a sense of calm. And he explains Even though the man fell every single day, what was the great bitachon of the man? Yes, every single day they knew that man fell from the sky. But when they went to bed at night, did they have any food in their tents? It was empty. Imagine that, for 40 years, every single night, every single time, and every single day the Jewish people went to sleep, there was no food in their house. Every single night. That's a very remarkable thing to think about. Can you imagine such a thing? That every single night, in your home, and in the grocery stores, it was empty. There was no food. And you had to trust that tomorrow morning, that even though right now, in the cabinets, there's nothing there, there'll be a box of cereal, and there'll be milk, and it'll be taken care of. But that's what it was like for 40 years. There was no pas besalo. There was no feeling of calm and comfort because there was nothing there for them to rely on. Of course they will say, what will we eat in the seventh year? Kodim shiru b'shishis ribuy hatfua. Meaning, and this is the key, the Kliyakar is saying, the Jewish people will say in the sixth year, what will we eat in the seventh year? Because right now, I don't see anything. Only at the end of the sixth year will they get all that bracha. And this is an important level of bitachon, he says. He goes on to explain this aspect of bitachon. Bitachon means that Klal Yisrael are being challenged, that to not have enough in front of them, but to know that Hashem is going to take care of you when the time comes. In the Parsha of the Man, it says, you took exactly what you needed. You had no more and no less. And Man teaches us that each individual is given what they need. Exactly. Every single day, the Jewish people got the food they needed. No more, no less. And we don't worry, the bitachon comes not in amounts, but it comes in the quality of what you have in front of you. Bitachon is not about the literal a lot. It's about knowing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person what they need when they need it. Yeah.
Is it that your field has to be empty by the seventh year, or like you could plan the day before and then just plan a lot?
No. There's a mitzvah of Tosefa Shvius. You're not starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul, you can do nothing else in the field.
So you can't have anything like left over that you could then pick.
Anything that you plant in the sixth year that continues to grow in the seventh year, so essentially you're allowed to, we're not going to go through all the other shmitas right now, but essentially you're allowed to eat shmita food. It's a mitzvah to eat shmita food. It has kedushas shvius. It's holy food to eat. It's a big mitzvah to eat food that grows during shmita. The problem is you can't sell it and make any money off of it. And then in the eighth year, when I didn't plant anything in the seventh year, I'm going to have nothing because I didn't do anything before. That's the struggle.
So again, the seventh year, you have food.
Correct. So you have food, but your field is hefker. That means everyone can come and take whatever they want, and you can't stop them.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No. It's not me.
No, you can take that and like leave a donation. Then.
No. You can't make any money from it. You can't make any money from it. Yeah. Shemitah is hard. So you can't take any money. You can charge for the work. I can charge you for the gasoline and the time and the trucks to ship and things like that. But for the produce itself, you can't charge.
But let's say I want to take like a vegetable. Can I?
You can give tzedakah if you want, but yeah. You can give tzedakah if you want, but.
So like buying it, but.
You don't have to.
Secure some tobacco.
No one has to.
Yeah.
Like
good. So yeah.
Is there like if like one person doesn't keep shmita, is there any punishment for him, or is it just like a group thing?
Meaning that punishment for the Jewish people, that's if the Jewish people as a whole abandon Shemitah. Each individual will be judged, you know, in the time of Beis and Sanhedrin, they would enforce Shemitah.
Like now?
Now, nobody enforces Shemitah nowadays.
If someone doesn't do it, like, there's a punishment.
No, that's between them and Hashem. It's not between, it's not the Jewish people. Yeah.
Okay. If more than half of the Jews move to Israel, is Shemitah going to become a Doraita?
No, it needs to be that they're also sitting in their proper Shevet. If you're from Yisachar, you need to be in the Shevet of Yisachar. If you're from Zvulun, you need to be from Zvulun. We won't know that until the Mashiach comes. Correct. It can't, even if most of the Jews live in Israel, it would not make Shemitah be Doraisa. It wouldn't change it. Says here the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Mem Beis. Ha-holeich limud eskrono. One who goes to measure his granary. Omer, before he goes into count how much he has, he should say the following tefillah. Hi-ratzal milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu. It should be God's will. Shetishlach bracha b'maaseidim. Hashem should send a blessing on my work. Hischil limud. As a person begins to count, Omer, Baruch HaSholeach Bracha B'Kriyazet. Blessed is the one who has sent a blessing on my mountain of food. And Hazeh Madeh, that I'm counting, V'achakach Berich HaRezeh Tefillah Shav. If a person asks Hashem to give an extra bracha to what he's already counted, that's a tefillah shav. It's a wasteful tefillah. Meaning, let's make it contemporary. If you work in a store and you have a cash business, before you go to count your receipts at the end of the day, say, Hashem, you should have a bracha that I should have whatever I made today, you should increase and it should be more. That's okay because you haven't counted yet. So it wouldn't necessarily be, it wouldn't be an open miracle if there's $500 in the register. If Hashem made it $700, it wouldn't be an open miracle because no one would know because no one's seen that yet. But once I know that there's $500 in the register, I can't now close the register and say, Hashem, I should open it up tomorrow and there'll be $1,000 in the register. That's a nes nigla. That's an open miracle. And we don't daven for such open miracles. So the point for us over here, in this Gemara in Bava Metzia, is how can we ask for a miracle? So Chaim Shalevet says, Mavor she'en metzias shal kamos klal. There is no such thing as amounts in the eyes of Hashem. Ela bracha birchas Hashem hiyata ashir. The only thing that exists is Hashem's bracha. That's the only thing that exists in the world. If you have $500 in the register and Hashem makes it $1,000 just like that before you count it, that's not a miracle. That is what we call bracha. That is natural bracha from Hashem. That Hashem controls how much and how little. It's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's all in Hashem's hands. Yeah.
Your teacher knows that
you're
going to
test,
you don't. Yeah, like,
you can't
daven.
No, you can't daven anymore for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know
what right after?
They once it's been, as long as nobody's seen it and nobody's seen the test or the things like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like right after the test.
Like what if I took a multiple choice test, did A, and I was like, ooh, I know it's B, change it to B. No.
If you know for sure, you can't. That's a tefillah shav. Because Hashem's not going to do an open miracle.
Is that like a bracha of atala type?
Yeah, tefillah shav. Meaning you didn't say Hashem's name. It's a wasteful tefillah.
It means often that like, the teacher isn't noticed or grades.
That's
test
possible. Around. You could do that.
It's like you can't daven for good grades from the test that you took the whole week.
Correct.
You can't daven. Yeah. I'm
not sure. Okay.
So the pasuk says
in Yirmiyahu. I think you're all familiar with part of this pasuk. Haloch v'karasa bozne Yerushalayim amor. I go and I call to the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Ko amar Hashem, zacharti lach chesen uraich. I remember the kindness of your youth. Ahavas kulul asayich. Lech seich acharai b'midbar be'eretz lo zerua. And that was the godless of the Jewish people, the bitachon, that we went into the desert with no protection and no food, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of us. Rashi writes in Shmos Perek Dazayin, B'yamei Yirmiyahu, K'shehaya Yirmiyahu mochicham. Yirmiyahu was giving the Jewish people Musar. Lama einatem oskim b'Torah? Why aren't you guys learning Torah? V'im omrim, naniach melachteinu v'nasok b'Torah. He says, well, we're going to stop working and learn Torah. Meheicha nisparnes, how are we going to make money for ourselves? So hotzi lehem tzentzenes haman. Yirmiyahu went to the Beis HaMikdash and took out the container of man that was saved over from the Midbar. Amar lahem atem ru dvar Hashem. Look at the word of Hashem. Shemu lo nemar el ru'u. See, I'm holding up the man. Misparnesu avoseichem harbe shuluchen yesh lo makom. Your forefathers we're given a parnasa. Hashem has all the messengers in the world at his disposal, in order to give you what you need. Lahachin mazon l'reyav, to give those who have bitachon and fear Hashem. Harbe shluchim l'makom. A person's parnasa, a person's success can come from anywhere. Let's read together on the opposite page a well-known story about the Al Shech HaKadosh. The Al Shech HaKadosh lived in Sfas in the days of the Beis Yosef and the Arizal. Let's read together the story. The Aruch HaShulchan references, but it's such a good story. Let's read it together to see the whole thing. There was a man living in Sfas who was a simple, unlearned Jew. He made his living by transporting sand and earth in an old, broken-down wagon that was hauled by his donkey. In a sermon one Shabbos, he heard the Al Shech say, "At the highest level of bitachon, no hishtadlus is necessary. If one truly trusts in the Almighty," said the Al Shech, "then God will provide him with parnasa." The man said to himself, "If this is true, why must I work so hard? If there's a level of bitachon like this, then all my drudgery is unnecessary." Then and there he made a firm decision to trust in God with all his heart, and he proceeded to sit by the stove the whole day and recite Tehillim. When his wife and family saw that he had stopped working, they demanded that he return to his labors and earn some money to support them. He, in turn, scolded them and said, "Chas v'shalom, I heard the Al Shech say explicitly that if a person trusts completely in God, his livelihood will come to him without any effort whatsoever. If so, why should I slave in the cold and heat when everything is going to come to me anyway? Come join me and say Tehillim, and you'll see that our parnasa will soon be here." His wife finally gave up trying to convince him, but that didn't help the situation. The cupboard quickly became bare, and the household needed food. She therefore sold the donkey and the wagon in order to have at least a little money. The new owner of the donkey and the wagon was a Gentile, and he used to travel around the mountains to dig sand and earth. One day he happened upon a treasure of gold. He immediately filled his bags with the gold and loaded them on the wagon. Then he continued his excavation of the treasure. Suddenly, a loose boulder rolled down the mountain and killed him. When the Gentile didn't come back, the donkey, hungry and not knowing where to go, lifted its feet and out of habit returned to its original owner. Soon the donkey arrived at the Jew's home. When his wife saw the animal and the wagon loaded with the treasure, she excitedly ran to her husband, "Keep saying Tehillim, your bitachon worked, we're rich." Upon hearing the remarkable occurrence, the Talmidim of the Al Shech came to their teacher and complained, "Why is it that man so much greater than us? We've been studying with you for many years and our bitachon is surely praiseworthy, yet we remain poor. Then along comes this simple Jew, and after hearing about bitachon only once, he sits by the stove and is given a treasure." The Al Shech answered them, "When you thrust a stick into the hard ground, it stands up by itself. However, if the ground has been broken up and is soft and loose, the stick will fall over. You have to push it in deeper in order to steady it." When this simple Jew heard about bitachon, he accepted it without any doubts or fears, as if there was no other reality. "You, my dear Talmidim, are different. You are too smart for that. You want to understand everything. You want to analyze and dissect the situation in order to understand it. This causes you to have some slight doubts and apprehensions. Therefore, you have not yet attained perfect bitachon."
Wow, that's so annoying.
The idea being this, that when you start to make calculations and what ifs, and well, how about this, but I once heard it in a shir, I learned a Rashi over here, and when you outsmart yourself and you are too intellectual about bitachon, then you're left with nothing, and you have nothing to stand upon. Often, bitachon simply means nasa v'nishma. I'm going to do because I'm going to do it, and not to overthink it. And that's what Chaim Shlomitz wants us to get in touch with a little bit more. Hishtadlus doesn't bring parnasa. We often make a problematic calculation, says Chaim Shlomitz. We think as follows. We feel that however much hishtadlus I put in, then in return, I will get that much parnasa. If I put in 20 hours at the office, then I'll get that much parnasa in return. And if I put in 40 hours at the office, I'll get that much parnasa in return as well. Hishtadlus doesn't cause parnasa. There is a klala. The Torah says, "Bezeas apecha tocha lechem." HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the only way to get bracha is by working hard at things in order to make a parnasa. It's a curse. It's a klala by Adam HaRishon. That's the way Hashem created the world as we have it right now. If you want to be able to have what to eat and food to feed your family with, then you need to be able to put in effort. That's the klal of Adam Rishon. But it doesn't bring about. It's not an equal equation. That if I do this much, therefore I get that much parnasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu being parnasa according exactly what you need to have. But if a person has true bitachon, you can sit back and let it come. Most people are not on that level because we're too smart for our own good. And we outthink ourselves about why it shouldn't, it's different, I'm a different case, and this is important, and this is not important, and our bitachon becomes lessened over time. The Gemara in Kedushin Pei Beis Amud Aleph says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, have you ever seen a beast or a bird that has a trade, and yet they earn their livelihood without anguish? But all these were created only to serve me, and I, a human being, was created to serve the one who formed me. Is it not right that I should earn my livelihood without anguish? But I, humanity, have committed evil actions, and I've lost my livelihood. And this is why people must work to earn a living. That's it. Really, if the birds can make the parnassa for free, and the ants can get a parnassa for free, and the bears and the lions and the squirrels can get free food, you know, from my garbage can, so then why is it that I have to work so hard? The answer is because it's a punishment on Adam HaRishon. It's a punishment that I have to put in hashtadlis in order to make a parnassa. But really, Bitachon tells me that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide. There's another Gemara over here. The Gemara in Brachos says, let's do the Gemara in Nida. The Gemara in Nida says that the sages of Alexandria also asked Rabbi Yeshua, what should a person do to become wise? And Rabbi Yeshua said to them, he should increase his time spent sitting in the study house and minimize his dealings in merchandise, meaning learn more, less business. So the sages of Alexandria said to Rabbi Yeshua, many people have done so, yet it did not help them acquire wisdom. So Rabbi Yeshua said, rather they should pray for mercy to receive wisdom from one whom wisdom belongs. As it's stated, for the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and discernment. The idea being, says Rav Chaim, that even when it comes to Chachmas HaTorah, growth in knowledge of Torah, you need bitachon as well. Of course you have to put in effort, but you also have to have bitachon that Hashem is the one that provides it. And without davening, you will not be successful in Torah. You must daven. Limud haTorah below tefillah lo sagi, says Rav Chaim. You must daven. You have to have bitachon that Hashem is the one who provides in our learning. The Gemara Menachos Dav Zayin says that Avimi was in fact the teacher, but Tractate Menachos was uprooted from him. He forgot the whole Masechta Menachos. And Avimi came before his student Rav Chista to help him recall his learning. So the Gemara asks, if Rav Chista was in fact the student, let Avimi send for him, and Rav Chista come to Avimi. Meaning, he's the Rebbe. He should have the Talmud come to him. It's not respectful that the Rebbe should have to go out to the Talmud. So the Gemara says, Avimi thought that this would be more helpful in this manner, meaning that by exerting the effort to travel to his students in order to learn from him, he would better retain his studies. Effort in learning is a condition. It's not a cause and effect. You have to put in effort in order to grow in your learning. It's a condition that's in the fabric of the world. That's a bitachon. Bitachon means Hashem is going to provide me in my learning for whatever I need, and Hashem is going to give me in order to be successful in my own spiritual growth, but I need to daven for it. It's not cause and effect. Not only is the amount of effort going to bring your knowledge in Torah, but it needs to be through bitachon and davening as well. So, in summary, this is Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's opening essay about bitachon, and Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has taught us this evening the main idea being that the koach to be ready to go without, this comes from a place of understanding that Kadosh Baruch was before you. That is Gibore Koach, Hashem is before you at all times, and that pushes a person to be able to do mitzvahs and to serve Hashem in a way that's way, way beyond what he thought he could attain before, and puts him in a position to really develop that relationship. And in the conversation of Bitachon without Hishtadlus, Rav Chaim explained to us that if a person's Bitachon is at the right level, they could essentially sit back and a Kadosh Baruch could provide for them if they were able to attain such an understanding. Questions?